This is Suzanne Cosgrove with John Lothian News. I'm talking today with Mark D'Souza, CEO of Revolution Global, a Chicago-based company. So Revolution has a presence in nearly every aspect of the cannabis business, including cultivation, production, and packaging. So you and your team have extensive backgrounds in the financial industry and exchange trading, and that's our readership. So maybe you could talk a little bit about how that experience comes into play at Revolution Global.
So it's been an interesting intersection where there's a lot of great cannabis companies that tap professionals from our backgrounds. I think first and foremost, you know, having extensive experience in risk management and, quite frankly, crisis management was essential in starting an emerging company in an emerging industry. You take that in the backdrop of still being challenged with federal laws and regulations, it was necessary for professionals to be a part of operating teams with our experience to make sure that, you know, all the different issues that would pop up, we had that real-time experience in being able to pivot, manage that risk, compartmentalize different things that were happening at the same time. And I think that's been a large part of what has allowed not just our company, but its leadership to persevere through challenging times.
So it sounds like you have had some challenges. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I think the industry, not just our company, has had many challenges since the beginning. You know, you take that backdrop that I mentioned from a regulatory framework and having constraints from regulatory perspectives or capital markets perspectives is what every company had to deal with from the very beginning. So that is, you know, part and parcel of where this whole challenge starts. But, you know, directly as Revolution, I got brought in to help manage the company after a shareholder takeover during a small period of distress. We were very lucky in that we have a lot of good relationships with our vendors and our internal operators that allowed the company to persevere through that. And, you know, you think about those capital market challenges, even having no access to federal bankruptcy protection as an example, that you have to take a company and deal with those limitations and be able to shore it up, turn it around, and compete with the brothers that we have in our competitive landscape.
You became CEO in 2016, is that correct?
That's correct. I was brought in as the crisis manager in September of 2016 and made permanent in 2018.
And you're on the board as well?
Yes, I am on the board of directors. Previously, I was chairman of the board when we were turning the company around, but the blessings that journey has given us include the institutionalization of our board of directors, and we would not be where we are today, especially with our chairman, Tony Hunter, who was the previous CEO and publisher of Tribune Media, as well as a number of other board members who've joined us, like Don Short from Coca-Cola, Jamal Mashburn, George Weldy. Great leadership to shore up this company and take it to where it is today and being an operational leader for the future.
Revolution is based in Illinois, but it also has a presence in several other states, correct?
Yes, we've been able to expand, although a little bit slower than our brothers in the industry, to being multi-state, but being very tactical and doing that with a good deal of capital efficiency. So we're in Arkansas, Maryland, and Florida, as well as Illinois being our headquarters.
Are you looking to move into other states down the road?
Yes. So we already now for 2020 have an internal funding and capital plan to start really aggressively going after distressed assets, which unfortunately some early operators came out of the gate too aggressively and have had to pivot and sell or try to market some assets to shore up their balance sheets and keep their operating teams in place. So that's part of our 2020 and 2021 strategy to add to our portfolio and expand Revolution as an operator and all the brands that we carry under the umbrella.
What about federal legalization? Is that something you're lobbying towards actively or not?
Yes. In addition to my current duties at Revolution and some other board relationships, I was very lucky to be asked and be a part of the Marijuana Policy Project, which is one of the oldest cannabis lobbying groups out of DC. And so in my previous CME days, I was lucky enough to be in the 90s part of the PAC that lobbied Congress back in those days when we were dealing with certain regulatory challenges. And I've been able to tap that experience, not only for the benefit of MPP, but for the benefit of Revolution in what we do, not only on a local lobbying front, but to your question, on a federal lobbying front. And we are very hopeful this year that we can get the SAFE Act out of the Senate Finance Committee and onto the floor, and hopefully have some movement on that for some much needed financial and regulatory relief.
Another challenge that we see right now is, of course, COVID-19, but cannabis was ruled an essential product, and Illinois, for example, had sales that were quite good in March, $36 million, and then also nearly $35 million in February. So how are you viewing that? Is that a real asset to at least be viewed as essential in this particularly difficult time?
That's an interesting challenge, but again, going back to our board leadership and our management experience in whether risk or crisis management, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that we were actually ahead of that curve. So we have what I consider an amazing relationship with the Research Foundation board at the University of Chicago. And so through that relationship, we were constantly updated early on in February and March as to what was going on. And so we actually, more than a week ahead of time, made the decision to go virtual and stay at home from a corporate standpoint. We made that decision March 12th and implemented the morning of March 13th. And in that order, going back to being a week ahead of time, we had already declared through, until we have further updates, through the end of April. So that was a very interesting thing to have access to from an informational standpoint. But to the earlier part of your question, we knew immediately from a risk standpoint, we had to make decisions. We were not going to look for guidance. And so we did that. And after that decision, it became part of the challenge of how do you now deal with this declaration of being essential and then risk manage around the best interests, not only of the company, but more importantly, the most important part of our company is our operating teams and our employees. And so how did we need to help them and establish not only how they were going to be safe and do their jobs as well as continue to be paid during a difficult time, mm-hmm. but in turn then be able to do what's best for the patients that we serve in all of those markets. So we've had to restrict travel, we've had to restrict certain types of contact, increase our product safety and cleanliness. All those things were very important and needed to be done in real time, and we did that.
And your sales are still doing well.
Yes, and I wouldn't say that as a business point. I think it's just a matter of everybody being doing well from a sales standpoint, because that's, you know, what happens in times of crises. If you're an essential business, you're going to see consumers looking to you for service at an even higher demand level, and we're doing that.
Yeah. There's also some analysts have said cannabis might be recession-proof. Is that something you've thought about, the fact that it's used for medicinal purposes as well as wellness? Do you expect continued growth?
We do, Suzanne. I mean, we look at Revolution being a science-based health and wellness company. And if you're going to look at the comparables, I think what it's easy to look at in terms of essential and recession conversations being recession-proof is that we're most aptly compared to the pharmaceutical industry. And as long as consumers need to be helped and served, we're going to be there for them.
Who do you think will be, maybe you don't want to answer this, but if you do, will be on the winning side of all this, say, 6 to 12 months from now in this industry? Sounds like you've had some experience with some distressed companies.
So, again, from my trading experience, we are able to look at the distressed opportunities and know what we think is capital worthy and worth our risk in terms of buying distressed assets, and we're doing that very efficiently. But I think to answer your question about who do you think will be out front, I definitely believe that we will be there. We're here to stay. The perspective that we come from on that is, you know, where you're seeing the distress is people who operated companies, got over their skis a little bit and taking on too much debt, booking too much goodwill, using paper to buy assets instead of hard dollars. So there are a lot of scale operators now who are out there like Revolution without those issues dragging on their balance sheet. And I think, you know, if you were to ask me directly, who do I think is one of the ones that is in a similar shape, I would tell you that I think PharmaCann looks extremely healthy to us. We look at them in a framework that we call co-opetition, where although we have to compete, we like how they do business and think a lot of their management team and their board. There are some other friendly operators that I think are doing extremely well. I like Charlie and his team over at Cresco, and you know, those are some of our nice, what I consider, relationships.
Before I let you go, I wanted to be sure to talk to you about Revolution's partnership with Ours Organic Urban Revitalization Solutions. That's with small business, small entrepreneurs, particularly in the urban community. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Absolutely. You know, if you think about the origin of the company's name, Revolution, this was part of the ethos of what was going to change for a plant and an entire industry. And so what we took very seriously from the very beginning was our relationship with cannabis and what it meant for so many different things. The concept of criminal justice reform, the war on drugs, those things were impactful to minority communities in ways that we're finally waking up to and realizing. You know, all the paroles and expungements that were given even here in Illinois are a testimony to that. So knowing that we had a direct impact in that, we also knew that we had a responsibility. And it went beyond just, you know, putting money into a fund to have minorities get access to the industry or business capital. It meant that we had stewardship responsibility to mentor these groups. And we have three of them under our sponsorship umbrella. There's Ours, there's Herbin, and another one led by an attorney named Maisie Harris, who is doing a great job trying to get their companies up and running with the application process. This is part of what the Revolution is about. And so, you know, what the Ours team has done has been incredible. I met the leader of that company while serving on JB's agriculture transition team before he took office. We've done a lot of work together with Mayor Lightfoot and the zoning, and we think that it is part of our responsibility in giving back to be there for them as much as we are able to be allowed to be in business today ourselves.